Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. What percentage of people do you think attend church each week in the United States? 10%? 20? 30? 40? Since 1939, Gallup pollsters have asked Americans, did you happen to go to worship last Sunday? The first time they asked that question in 1939, 41% of the people said yes, they did go to worship on the previous Sunday. Now, since 1939, the number has been reported as being anywhere from 41% to 47% of the American people who say they attended worship on any given weekend. However, believe it or not, there is a large disparity between those who say they have attended worship and those who were actually in worship, as reported by the churches in the United States. And these statistics are all pre-COVID, so live streaming probably had no impact on any of these. In 2005, the Barna Research Group, a Christian research, education, and publication group, reported that 47% of Americans went to church each weekend. At the time, the population in the United States was 296 million people, and if 47% of them attended worship, that would be about 140 million people. I know it's a lot of numbers. Barna also reported that the average attendance at Protestant churches was about 90 people, or 90 adults, actually. So, when you adjust for children and multiply by the number of Protestant churches, that 90 people on average, add in some more people for the Catholics, the number of people who actually attended worship in 2005, as reported by churches, was 52 million, nowhere near 140 million as were reported as having attended. Why the disparity? Because 63% of those who reported that they attend worship didn't actually attend worship. They wanted others, or at least the researchers, to think that they were more religious than they actually are. Apparently, what Jesus is talking about in our gospel reading this morning is still an issue in the world today. People projecting or pretending to be more religious than they are, or wanting other people to observe their religious practices. Now, our reading this morning comes from the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. And it follows last week's reading of the Beatitudes, when and Jesus' declaration that we are the salt of the earth, a light upon a hill which should not be hid. This morning's reading is part of a series of teachings by Jesus that warn his followers to not be like the hypocrites, who stand in the synagogues and on the street corners praying so that other people will see and hear their prayers. Jesus warns against giving alms, to not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. And when you fast, don't be like the hypocrites who disfigure their faces so that others know that they are fasting. Jesus says, for when you've done these things, you have already received your reward, but if you do them in secret, so that others don't see what you are doing, but only your Father sees, your Father will give you your reward. Haven't we done a great job of listening to this part of Jesus' teachings? How many of us really like to have our religious observances observed by other people? Most of us probably hide the fact that we pray at all. We certainly don't pray when we go out to dinner. And if we do, we probably pray real quiet. My supervising pastor on internship, his MO was, all right, when we're going to lunch, just bow your head, say something quiet. We don't want to cause a scene. We don't want to appear to be religious because we don't want to offend people. Heck, maybe even more than that, we don't want to have people begin to question us about what we believe or why we believe what we say we believe. We don't want to be confronted. We're happy to follow Jesus' admonition here to do all of these things in secret because it makes it less awkward out in the world. If your church, the schedule at church conflicts with work or with another social gathering, do we go to church or do we go to those other places? Do we even mention the fact that it would be better if it was another time because I've got this thing at church? We don't want people to know that we go to church. We've been taught, right? There's three topics you never discuss in polite conversation. Politics, sex, and religion. Well, I know we don't talk about religion. We probably don't talk about sex. Politics these days is probably the most dangerous of the three. Of all the things that Jesus taught that we should be doing, such as loving our neighbor, turning the other cheek, going to the ends of the earth, making disciples, and baptizing them in Jesus' name, this is the one thing that we have chosen to glom onto and to adopt and to implement fully in our lives. We're really good at keeping our religious observances and our faith a secret because we've had so much practice doing it. But it's not because of humility that we do it. We don't do so because we don't want those uncomfortable conversations. Now, one of the unique things about our reading this morning is that Jesus doesn't just tell us what not to do. He tells us what we should do. He says, don't pray like the Gentiles, instead pray like this, and then he gives us clear, simple instructions about what we should be doing. Pray in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The prayer that Jesus instructs his followers to pray has become known as the Lord's Prayer because Jesus told us that this is how we should pray. But perhaps a better name would be the disciples' prayer because we are the ones who are being told to pray this way. Jesus gave it to us. Maybe we should begin to take some ownership of it. It's our prayer given to us by Jesus. It's a prayer that most of us have memorized and can say without even giving it much thought at all. In fact, I remember when I first memorized the Lord's Prayer. I think I was in the first or second grade. I was in Mrs. Gallup's Sunday school class at St. Peter's Lutheran in Elk Grove. Mrs. Gallup was a hoarder before the title or the shows existed. She had stuff everywhere, in her house, in her car, and in the classroom. She was the only teacher at our church who had their own classroom because you couldn't move her because you couldn't get all the stuff out of her room. And Mrs. Gallup taught first and second grade for decades. I don't know, how long, Mom? Forever. Just for showing up, she'd give you animal crackers. Just for showing up. And then, when you memorize something important, like the Lord's Prayer, the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, you got a better prize. Maybe something better to eat, or more likely, some cheap something that was in one of those stacks of stuff that were all over her classroom. Ironically, I learned the Lord's Prayer so that I could pray it out loud in front of other people so that they would notice me and I would get a prize. The very thing that Jesus is addressing in our reading is the very thing I was encouraged to do. But with the best of intentions, of course. But that is not exactly what I think Jesus had in mind when he gave us this prayer to pray. The Lord's Prayer is a simple prayer, given to us by Jesus so that we would not have to search for the words like the Gentiles did. It was given to us that we would know that it's not so much what we are saying, not so much about the words that we are using that is important, but what is important is that we are praying. The Gentiles thought that they needed to butter up the gods that they were praying to, so they would babble on and on and on and use big flowery language to try and get those gods to pay attention and listen to their petitions. You've heard those prayers. Hopefully not from me. They would babble on and on and on. But Jesus tells his disciples and us that our Father already knows what we need, even before we ask. So there's no need for flowery language and flattery. God knows our needs, but what God wants is us to acknowledge that God is a provider of those needs. God already knows it. But what's important is that we acknowledge that God is the one who provides for those needs. So it's not necessary that we pray in the most eloquent of way with the longest or most emotional or most poetic of words. What God desires from us is that we turn to God in prayer. That we acknowledge God is the source of our daily provision. God wants us to show our love for God by showing our love for one another and praying that we might forgive one another. As Mr. Justin said, it's a very difficult thing to do. And God wants us to pray, not as a last resort, but as a first response, that we would turn to God first as a loving father who wants their child to know that they can count upon him. It was not praying, fasting, or almsgiving that Jesus is critiquing here in the Sermon on the Mount. These popular religious practices and expressions weren't the problem. It was how the hypocrites and the Gentiles were praying and fasting and giving alms that was the issue. They were doing so in order that others might take notice of them, of themselves. The people would focus upon them and celebrate their piety instead of focusing upon the God to whom they were praying. These practices, much like our worship, our fellowship, our acts of service, are intended to point us toward God, not to point other people to us. Those things we do are all about our love of God, not about trying to get accolades or attention for ourselves. They're for God's glory, not for our own. With that being said, I do think it's entirely appropriate for us to pray in public and to let other people know about our religious practices and observances. That is, if by doing so we are trying to call attention to God and not our own piety or religious fervor. I think there is no better witness to the good news of the gospel than for other people to see how it actually impacts our lives. That it's real for us more than just when we gather together on a Sunday morning, but it is real and important for us throughout the week when we're out in public. So pray. Pray even out loud and don't worry about saying the right words because your Father in heaven already knows your needs before you ask. And don't be concerned about what others might think about how you pray, whether it's good enough or long enough or reverent enough, because Jesus has told us not to worry about it. So pray. Pray like nobody is watching. Pray like nobody is watching and trust that your Father in heaven will hear your prayer, will answer your prayer, and will reward you with his gracious, life-giving love. Amen.